Now the background chatter sounds like Star Soldier or something.
Star Soldier? What's Star Soldier?
Like Star Force.
Yeah, old, like, NES. It's a vertical shooter.
Yeah, old NES, vertical, takes place in space.
Oh, I do not know that one.
It's how Takashi Meijin became famous.
Star Force and Star Soldier, yeah. Became the 16-shot Master Higgins.
Yeah, he can press the A button 16 times in 1 second.
In average, yeah.
That's a lot of A buttons. Exploding Barrel Podcast for July 5th, 2009. It's our post-Independence Day celebration here on the Exploding Barrel, isn't it? First off, I apologize for the slightly late show. Blame it on the holidays and last-minute Indians tickets. Adguy's still gone. He'll be back. I think he's coming home tomorrow, so that's nice. He'll be gone from his two-week trip to follow the Pony Express or whatever he was doing. But with me today, I have Joey Shinogu Chu. Say hi, Joe.
Hello.
And David Sword Guy Wen.
Hey.
Hey. So, this is pretty exciting. I finally have people with me that are kind of more Japanese gaming oriented. Usually it's Adguy and, like, Beige and, you know, things are more Western, even with George.
Yeah. Japanese in my case.
I just like video games.
Well, yeah, but no, I'm typecasting you. Quiet. No, please. After all the Shin Megami Tensei stuff, quiet you.
Yeah, we got the double the SMT fan quotient here.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm gonna have to make sure you guys don't get too carried away. So here's what we're gonna do today. We're gonna start with the news. Joe's got all that handled. Then we're going to go on to Game of the Year for 2006. Man, we don't have very many more of these years to go through. It's sad.
Mm-hmm. Not too sad.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
I'm sad that I missed all those games in the early NES era, so I can't talk about like Zombie Nation.
Yeah, that's just a shame. We'll make some sort of new feature where you can bring up obscure games still, don't worry.
Yeah, I want to talk about horizontal shooters where you play as a decapitated zombie head.
Yeah, who wouldn't, you know? Then we're going to do the game... we're going to do that. We're going to do the Great American Adguy Gaming Quiz. Then we're going to do our weekend gaming. We'll get to the game releases, and that's going to be the show. All right. Joe, take us to the news. What do you got?
This week... Well, which is this... actually, it's more like last week. But yeah, the week's news. There you go. The week's news is a bit better than the week before. It's generally a couple more reveals that are actually interesting. Like the two countdowns you mentioned for Square Enix and Capcom. So the Capcom one, we'll do that one first, because it's quick enough that nobody really cares in America. What you call it in America, Devil Kings, but in Japan, it's Sengoku Basara. So it turns out it really was for Sengoku Basara 3, not anything to Onimusha.
I'm not too invested in either franchise, so...
Yeah, I could never get into the Dynasty Warriors style thing.
I'm not sure. So sure it was very much Dynasty Warriors. I didn't know about it either. The anime was apparently wacky enough to be like really good. Well, who knows? Sengoku Basara. And then for the Fall Square Enix one, surprise, surprise, it was a new Final Fantasy for DS. Well, not as Final Fantasy mainline. It was called Four Warriors of Light Final Fantasy Gaiden.
And see, this seems kind of neat because it's like they're basically using the engine for the Final Fantasy 3 and 4 remakes to just make an actually like new game that'll pretty much play like an old Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that's why I'm looking forward to it, because I want them to do a kind of old school style Final Fantasy game now.
Yeah, it's almost like kind of like what I think some people maybe thought Final Fantasy 9 was gonna be like.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed Final Fantasy 9, but it was more. It was
I love Final Fantasy 9 too.
Yeah, it was like a weird mishmash of the old and new styles.
And this looks like I don't know, the one screenshot, like two people are dressed the same, leads me to believe maybe there'll be a job system in it. I don't know, that'd be sweet though.
That'd be pretty cool.
But no, I think it's you know, it's interesting to see that they're actually making a, something new and not another port. Although, a Final Fantasy V 3D port would still be kind of badass.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next up, I don't have anything to say about those. next up, Fable 3 has been announced thanks to New York Times. Talking about this one person who was like a staffer on Fable 3. And it's like, they just said, oh, he's working on Fable 3. And everyone's like, oh, that's a nice way. What?
What a bizarre way. Yeah. I mean, I guess we should have assumed that it was being made. I mean, I guess this is a little faster than maybe we would have thought.
Yeah. But maybe it's they'll just delay it to hell and it will seem like a long time.
Oh, yeah.
It's not exactly a formal announcement, so yeah. Who knows when they'll... Oh, they'll announce it close to release, just like Microsoft's done with most of the games.
Yeah.
I wonder if this one's going to be just very similar to Fable 2. Like, it won't be as much of a change from Fable 1 to Fable 2. If it's the same... I bet it'll be, like, the same engine and things like that. I don't know. We'll see. I wonder if Peter Molyneux's even working on it as much, considering he's all busy with... Like, he's in charge of just the whole... Microsoft Creative Game Studio or something now?
Something like that.
Yeah, he's got some bigger jobs. So he's busy with Milo.
Trimony, right? I think he's more of the European side for their stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but he's busy King teaching Milo how to feel, how to be a real boy.
Oh, they should make a Pinocchio game.
Oh, man. That'd be creepy as hell. Or Data game. I want a Data game, which is Data talking to me. Now, see, that would be cool.
It's a bit horrifying how relevant those are both to the Milo demo that they had earlier this year.
Yeah, honestly. Alright, what else?
Well, Fez is going to hit the Xbox Live Arcade early next year.
I'm very excited for this.
I am too, by virtue of the, like, you know, what graphics they're using and, like, you know, the what we've seen so far, but in terms of actually how it's going to play, I haven't seen that yet. So, yeah. I don't know what's going to go down with that.
Comment. Mostly just because whenever I saw that, I just thought this is what Paper Mario, this is what I thought Super Paper Mario was going to be, where you have
more. That's what Jerry Parrish also said. Yeah.
Yeah, more full 3D control over the environment.
Let's moving on. Then I guess that's all to say about that.
Yeah, we had to work on our awkward pauses between. Yes.
Well, you can edit those out, and like you're editing this part
out. I'm not going to edit anything out, please. So, yeah, this is all raw and unedited.
Sounds like we need someone else to edit this podcast. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Let's see. Well, this is for it's for you, Tokoto. Tetsuya Nomura had some things to say about the new Kingdom Hearts.
Oh my God, I haven't heard this. Say it. Bring it to me.
Well, not really anything to say about New Kingdom Hearts, except that there's going to be another Kingdom Hearts after Birth by Sleep. That'll be
more
official than a Kingdom Hearts side story.
I can't believe they're actually making Kingdom Hearts 3. I did not expect this.
No, yeah, what it says here is in this translated interview, it's what you call it. Nomura says, I actually told the producer something about this other more official Kingdom Hearts recently, and he said, what? It's the Mystery Kingdom Hearts. Of course, I'm also thinking about Cage 3, so it'll be another title before Cage 3, actually.
What the hell? Ay. You know, I mean, at this point, Kingdom Hearts 2 came out in Japan in 2005. I mean, for crying out loud.
2005? Oh, 2, yeah. Right?
Yeah, 2.
Okay.
I mean, it's been some time since installments here. Even the freaking DS one. We have to wait 4 years for the DS.
Divided by 2 days.
I'll never remember that title.
358 days over 2.
it's Kingdom Hearts DS, as far as I'm concerned.
Some numbers.
It's Kingdom Hearts and some numbers and shit. And everyone had fun. Alright, so...
Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Kingdom Hearts. Marvel vs. Capcom 2? What?
Not out. It's gonna be out this month. It's gonna be out sometime in this month. I'm kinda worried. Because remember Street Fighter 2 HD Remix? Like that also had a bunch of delays. I'm not saying that, you know, this will have that many delays, but well, we don't know for sure, none of us. But hopefully it won't be plagued by that much delay stuff, yeah.
Didn't HD Remix also not work very well when it first came out?
They also didn't have, like, working screenshots of it, like, during the lead-up to its release as well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But this is not as labor-intensive as that is. I mean,
I can't imagine it would be that hard. They already have a demo up. Which seems kind of like a bad idea to put it out that early and then sit on it forever.
Yeah.
That's just one aspect, you know, local versus compared to, like, they're also toting online, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think they're pretty much just going to use the netcode that HD Remix uses.
Mm-hmm.
I'd imagine.
This would be all right. Yeah, I think they're called MMV Marvelous. The guys behind, they were the ones distributing No More Heroes and stuff. They're saying like their next stuff, their next like big game around that is going to be not hitting the Wii, I think. Like, it's either not hitting the Wii or, like, they're going to be porting some of those titles to the Wii in later on.
Oh, are you talking... Is this, like, part of that deal where they're saying the next No More Heroes won't be on the Wii?
Yeah, it's part of that.
Okay. Probably makes sense. I don't think that game sold particularly well, right?
I can't speak to sales. Apparently, it sold better than Mad World, but...
Wow.
It did about 100,000, I believe, in the U.S.
It wasn't a Wii Fit.
I mean, I guess it's, like, you have to, like... Can't expect every game to sell like a Gears of War. I mean, I guess that's respectable.
Yeah.
I mean, how much would anybody really think that a game like No More Heroes would really sell? I mean, how much did any Clover game ever sell, really? Maybe Beautiful Joe 1 was a mild success.
Kinda.
Yeah, exactly. Even though they made spinoffs of that till it was driven into the ground.
Yeah.
It's like, here's the DS one, here's the PSP one.
And they're all the same, whatever ripoff, Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I know.
The latest GameCube one and the PSP one, yeah. Like, something Red Hot Rumble, yeah, that's the one.
No,
yeah.
That's for Red Hot Rumble.
DS1 was trying to put, like, the actual Beautiful Joe to DS. But I don't think it worked very well. Like, I tried it for a bit.
I never played that. It seemed like a decent idea. I just never got to it.
Yeah.
Practically what I got for news. Well, oh, wait, this is a big thing here. StarCraft 2 is not going to have LAN.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's pretty upset about that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. I have the internet, so.
Yeah, I would have been upset about, I don't know, five years ago.
Like a couple
ago
years ago,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I guess I can. Like, it seems like, well, why not just go ahead and put it in? I don't know.
I can sympathize with those people, but I don't have that problem personally.
Right. I'm still just a little annoyed by their whole 3-game trilogy bullshit.
Like splitting it into 3 parts for the scenarios, yeah.
Right, they don't even bring that up anymore. They just refer to the game as StarCraft 2. So, like, I always just get confused. Like, they say StarCraft 2 is coming out this year. Well, what do they mean? Just the one is? I don't know. I don't get it. Don't know what's going on with that.
I don't know how StarCraft works. I mean, I'm sure they don't do, like, labor-intensive MGS4 type cutscenes. Like, for their exposition and their plot line. Maybe, this is, like, each scenario from the original StarCraft. Like, you know, I had never played the original StarCraft. So, which is, like, is it for, like, each race you play, like, completely different, like, assets, like, different maps and stuff?
Some different maps, but, and there were some different CG scenes, but for the most part...
Oh, there were still CG scenes.
Yeah, but, it was still a lot of reusing assets.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. RTS isn't my thing. Couldn't comment much.
Well, a big thing of why they're taking out LAN is because they want to focus on, what's it called, a Battle.net? Their actual like online platform, so...
Well, I mean, I guess. I mean, that's just... people always say things like, oh, we're not doing this because we want to we're not having multiplayer because we want to focus on single player. I mean, you could do both. I don't know. I can't imagine LAN is that hard to put into something. I mean, it's just local area networks. I know the acronym.
Well, that makes you practically a game designer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
You're in the wrong industry.
Yeah, watch out, George. I'm going down to Full Sail. I'm going to outwiz you. All right. Anything else?
Last thing I got is a motion engine patent that came out for PS3, so which is people are thinking, oh, maybe they will put like software-based PS2 playback on the PS3.
Yeah, like, I would be very excited for that.
Same. I have an old PS3 that... has the actual chip in it.
The 60 gig?
Yeah, I got a 60 gigger. Sweet. Yeah, pretty nice. I can play all the PS2 and PS1 games I want.
I think it spits out hot air like crazy, though.
What's that?
I think it spits out hot air like crazy.
Oh, well, whatever.
Like, if you have
it's far away enough for me, so I don't feel hot air.
I mean, it's not like it wasn't like I was playing PS2, PS3, like sitting right next to the damn thing, but yeah.
Yeah, I do remember hearing that now.
You can use it to heat your coffee in the morning.
Yeah, right. Or cook eggs inside of it and stuff like that. All those things. All right, anything else?
That's about it. All I got, yeah.
Yeah, right. I can't think of anything major that was omitted. So why don't we just move on to Game of the Year. For 2006, my list seems unusually short this year, so if you guys can think of anything, jump in there. This is what I picked out. First off, we have Company of Heroes, which was a pretty well-received RTS game. I never played it, though. I don't know. Anyone here play it?
I felt like I should have, but I didn't.
Company of Heroes, didn't they talk about that a lot, like, last year on, like, 1UP or something like that?
There's always sequels to it.
Or, like, Dawn of War. I forgot which one it was. It sounds familiar. Wait, Company
Dawn
of Heroes
War
is, like, a shooter thing, right?
It's an RTS. Yeah, World War II. They kept on talking about it a lot on GFW.
Right. But I never played it, but there it is. Dead Rising was kind of one of the first 360 games to kind of get some notice.
Put, like, Capcom back in the spotlight as a, like, a, I don't know if they really had it in last gen, but, like, you know, this gen, it was very much like Capcom is with the 360.
Right.
Missing Lost Planet.
In these few years, like last year and this year, Capcom started to have a really big resurgence. Like, last year was Resident Evil 4. This year, you have, like, Dead Rising, Lost Planet, and a bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Taking Met 5.
Something. No, right. last year. By last year, I mean, like, last podcast's year.
Oh. 2005.
Yeah.
That's not last year. I'm confused. Moving on. Dead Rising.
We're talking about 6 right now.
Yeah.
I like it.
I get it. I get it now. We're talking as if the present was 2006, which would actually make sense.
Kind of.
I'm a little slow on everything.
Anyway.
I'm like, last year wasn't 2005. Last year was 2008. What's going on? I don't know.
Anyway, the same guy who programmed the framework engine for Dead Rising apparently programmed the framework for Mega Man Legends. And in the back of his mind the entire time, he was saying, you know, if you wanted to use this for Mega Man Legends 3, you totally could. And he actually apparently said that to Keiji Inafune, who said, you know, I'd love to, but I'm about $15 million short.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. They're going to make Mega Man Star Force 3, 4, 5, and 6 first.
You should totally make an online petition to raise money for Mega Man Legends 3, man.
Yeah, because petitions always work.
Yeah.
Totally.
PetitionOnline.com, let's go. All right. The Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion. My history of this game is well documented. If Adria was here, he'd be going crazy. I don't know. Anybody here care for this?
I enjoyed it a bit, but, you know, I didn't stick with it forever.
I saw it on the side of a bus, and that was basically my interaction.
All right, nice. Yeah, this is like a game where I tried playing it like 5 different times, and I just couldn't get into it, which is weird because I love Fallout 3. Can't get into this, for whatever reason.
It's interesting because for some reason I didn't get into Fallout 3, but I enjoyed this for about 10, 15 hours.
Strange. All right, next is Elite Beat Agents, the wonderfully quirky music game for the DS. Mm-hmm. Which I just loved. This is so much... See, like, with Guitar Hero and everything, I feel like we kind of are losing what... The way music games used to be. And, like, this was kind of a throwback for me. This reminded me more of stuff like Space Channel 5 and Unjammer Lammy and Parappa the Rappa and stuff like that.
And Guitar Man, I think?
Guitar Man, yeah.
It had a lot of personality.
It did. And a fun set list.
Yeah. Well, a set list that I mostly hated but worked despite itself.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not good.
It works
not
well
all
for play, you mean.
It's not all the rock and metal songs that we, you know, love that are always in Rock Band. I don't, but like,
well,
it's
Avril Lavigne.
Oh, yeah. But I don't know. It's not music I would listen to, but I had fun playing it.
Yeah, was definitely enjoyable to play. It's just not stuff I would listen to on my free time.
You're the meaning in my life.
No.
You're the
inspiration. Now.
I read about that stage. Apparently, it was like a really good story. But
it was intense. It was pretty.
Okay,
emotional. All right. Next up is Final Fantasy 12.
I like.
Where are you? Okay. I want to know where you guys are because apparently this game bridges a lot of debate in the Final Fantasy fan community because some people just absolutely hate it and others love it.
Yeah.
I'm on the love it side. I have to say.
I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Oh, that was great. Joe?
I'm on the respect it, but didn't finish it side.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't finished it either. I got pretty close.
I finished it, and then afterwards I went and played every other Final Fantasy because I'm hardcore.
What's interesting about that is, did you read any of the story behind it? about Matsuno...
Fraught with development trouble.
Yeah, beyond just the Matsuno having multiple mental breakdowns during its creation and having to be hospitalized.
Oh my god.
There also, apparently, like, men in suits from Square Enix said there aren't enough little kids in this game. So, they made
The story's, like, too mature. They needed to make Bon and Pinello and everything.
Yeah, and the original main character was going to be Bosch.
Yeah.
Really? I can see that. I think that might have worked a little better, actually.
Yeah, it would have
Bon
been cool.
Just seems he seems a little stock, doesn't he?
Well, yeah.
Sky pirate.
He's mostly just like a witness to the story. He's like the C-3PO of that video game.
Well, that's, it has that sort of Final Fantasy VI thing going for it where you really, like, you could say, oh, Vaughn's the main character because he's the first person I play as, but it's hard to look at it and say, well, who is the main character? And you can just kind of look at it and say, well, you can make an argument for Vaughn, you can make an argument for Bosch, you can make an argument for Ash, you can make an argument for Balthier, you know. I think it's more interesting that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, I liked it. It was the first Final Fantasy I beat.
Really? Oh, yeah. You weren't very RPG-centric, were you, in your gaming style before?
No, well, I played through this, and I actually loved it. And then, back in the early days of the EBP, I documented my Final Fantasy marathon, where I started with Final Fantasy 1, I went all the way through 10, and I played played through all of them in a 6-month period.
You went on a vision quest.
Yeah, it was the most intense thing I'd ever done gaming wise. It was really cool.
You're experiencing the evolution of video game technology.
Yeah, I was. It was kind of going. Well, it was interesting because, you know, I had to play just whatever ones I had. So for Final Fantasy 1 and 2, I had that Game Boy Advance version of it. Yeah. For 3, it was the DS one. 4, 5, and 6 were the GBA ports, and then 7, 8, 9, I just had the PlayStation versions, and 10, I had the PS2 version.
So you didn't play through the ROM hack of 3 with the emoticons? And
No, I did not.
Well, that sounds like fun, goddamn.
Yeah.
3 was one of my least favorite ones for whatever reason.
It was the unrefined, it was like the transitional period for the job system.
Right, it's like, so I played that one, and like, then I played 5, I'm like, oh no, it's a job system again, but then 5 was awesome, so.
Yeah, and that's also part of why I like Tactics, is just because it's using that job system.
Right, see, Tactics is just, man, I just suck at Tactics. I like it, but I am just god-awful terrible at it.
Well, it starts off really hard, and then it gets easier as you go along, once you get past the first few missions.
I'd imagine.
You can win every battle in like 2 turns if you do the right, combinations of classes.
Right. See, it's just this level strategy I'm just inept at.
Just stick with ninjas and calculators.
Oh, ninjas. Why calculators?
Calculators, if you give a ninja the calculator skills, you can win any battle in 2 turns.
Really?
Because the calculators have the ultimate skills. That I can't remember the name of off the top of my head.
Why are calculators in Final Fantasy?
I don't know.
They got like an abacus.
Because it's
like,
pretty cool.
Turn the beads here and there. They throw a bead at you and it's like 9999 damage.
Do they write 58008 and then turn their calculator upside down to distract their enemy?
Yes.
Like, look what it says. They're like, oh my god, you win.
Yeah, I did play that in middle school, so that sounds like something.
Alright, nice. Alright, moving on from Final Fantasy 12. Alright, Gears of War came out, which was big AAA title. It was Microsoft's big 06 holiday release.
Starring fun, big, stupid, muscle-bound space marines, yes.
Yeah.
We really loved Aliens and Rambo. And Predator.
Yeah, it maybe lacked a little something story-wise and aesthetically, but it was mechanically, it was a very good game, I thought.
Yeah, and the architecture is cool, at least.
Right, and the whole pop and gun sort of thing. You know, it was one of the first popular games to really use cover very well.
Yeah, it really popularized that idea.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a selling point was cover. And everyone was like, whoa, cover. How interesting.
You can hide by something, and then you won't get shot. Awesome.
Oh, that's a great idea, yeah. But it was a fun game. We all liked it. Oh, maybe. I'm not speaking for everyone. All right, Guitar Hero 2. This is back when there weren't a cavalcade of Guitar Hero sequels. This was the first one to have sort of the two-player co-op mode that wasn't just like the you play a section, I play a section, and the second player was usually bass or second guitar. and I guess
it's the last one Harmonix did, right? Yeah.
No, I think Harmonix also did
Rocks the 80s.
Rocks the 80s.
Oh, there was another one. Yeah.
Yeah, which I never even played.
Well, a friend of mine bought it because he was obsessive at that point. He played so much Guitar Hero 2. I don't think he actually played anything else that year.
I know a lot of friends who loved Guitar Hero, like, 2, especially, but, like, nowadays they're not even into it anymore.
Yeah, well, it's because they overcomplicated it, and they have, like, the three-note strumming crap, and right. I look at him trying to play Guitar Hero Metallica on Expert, and he can't even do it. Nobody can.
It's gotten, like, a bit much. Yeah, I mean, I used to play the games on Expert. I have to go down to hard now for most anything, it seems, these days. Even for Rock Band Unplugged or something like that. Okay, next is Legend of Zelda, The Twilight Princess, which was kind of the big Wii launch game it turned into. Although it was also released for GameCube this year. Did anyone play the GameCube version?
It was released for GameCube a month after the Wii one came out.
Right.
Yeah. And I couldn't wait.
Yeah, at first I was like, I'm just going to get the GameCube version. I don't want to use motion controls. I bet it's going to be terrible. But then, you know, once it was delayed, I became impatient. And the motion controls actually worked surprisingly well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they offered a whole lot to the game, but they weren't incompetent.
Yeah.
And it was nice for aiming, like, your bow and arrow and stuff, at least. And as far as Zelda games go, it was basically, like, a bigger Ocarina of Time.
I'm glad you didn't say better there. Because then I'd have to argue with you and hurt you.
No, I didn't. I'm on the Wind Waker argument of things. I think Wind Waker is the best Zelda game.
I like Wind Waker.
Wind Waker. I didn't agree with Twilight Princess.
Yeah, Twilight Princess to me seems like an incredibly baroque version of Ocarina of Time. Like, everything's so much bigger to an unnecessary scale.
Right. Whereas Wind Waker was probably missing a couple of dungeons. Twilight Princess probably had 2 dungeons too many.
Yeah. Well, and you could tell that, I think it was Mr. Pylon on the last...
a Squadron of Shame, yeah.
Yeah. Said that they were running out of ideas, and that kind of seems apparent whenever they give you another hookshot.
Yeah.
And that's your big power-up for that dungeon.
Although the one power-up where it was, like, that spinning top thing, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. I was disappointed that you only used that in, like, 2 areas.
Yeah, there's not much use for it. Like, that's the problem with, like, when they try to get too creative with the items, it's like, well,
it's
how
so
are you
situational.
Actually going to use this? Yeah, exactly. How are you going to use this item in the real world? Plus, I mean, I have the problem with Zelda games where it's like, it's kind of like an open world, and there's kind of like things you can do, like, oh, you can go in a cave and you can find this treasure chest, but usually your only reward is like some, either the rubies, which you really don't need to buy anything because everything drops, right, or like a heart piece, which you also probably don't need because the games are usually too easy where you actually need extra life.
Yeah, so that's the other thing is that they keep on making these games so easy, and I kind of miss that tension.
Yeah, I wish that maybe Zelda would be a game that could actually kind of handle loot drops, like, decently.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not incredibly, but maybe, like, something on the level at least, like, Fable 2, where there are, like, some special items and stuff.
It would also be cool if they didn't tell me I found 5 rupees every time I picked it up.
Yeah, that was an annoying little bug. Oh, God. Also, the beginning was just so. I don't know why we're kind of turning this into a roast of Twilight Princess. Twilight Princess is fine.
Twilight Princess hate train.
Yeah, honestly. No, I liked Twilight Princess.
It was pretty good.
It was good. Maybe I was just a little disappointed after I thought was such a bold and beautiful art style for Wind Waker that they kind of backpedaled. But
well, after, you know, a couple years of Lord of the Rings and then that epic trailer, then, yeah, expectations were meteoric.
Yeah, they were.
And all those kids really wanted their realistic Zelda.
Yeah,
they found out, no, you really don't.
Yeah, they all cried. I still remember the internet blew up when
Miyamoto came out with the shield and the sword.
No, well, that was the positive blowing up. I meant, the negative one when they first showed Wind Waker,
before
it was known as Wind Waker, and everyone was like, what the hell is this? I thought it looked cool even then.
I actually expected
Miyamoto to come into the crowd and start beating people with that sword.
He's like, this is for what you said about Wind Waker.
When you picture Miyamoto, though, don't you always just picture him in, like, that green shirt with the mushroom on it, with that, like, black jacket, and he has the sword and the shield?
And that smile just, like, burned into it, just like a Joker smile. It's always on his face.
He's like, surprise, cockfags!
Ay, ay, ay.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah, moving on.
Moving on. New Super Mario Brothers, which is still regularly a best-selling game for that system.
To the point they're porting it to the Wii now.
Yeah, well, it's not really a port.
It's like a sequel almost to that, with the same graphics.
Right.
Oh, they're using the name over again, is what I meant.
Yeah, I gotcha. But it was fun. Again, maybe a little too easy.
Yeah.
But it was cool. I mean, it was cool that it was a new 2D Mario game. Like, it was no Mario World or Mario 3, but it was fun.
Definitely didn't feel like those, but it was really fun.
It was the Mario one kind of revisited.
Yeah, it was nostalgic, you know?
Yeah, and so I'm hoping that they go for a Mario 2-style sequel. American Mario 2, not bullshit Japanese Mario 2.
Doki Panic 2 version, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no love for Mario 2 anymore. What the hell?
Well, I loved
Mario 2. I thought that was great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You know, nobody loved it enough to want to throw vegetables again in Mario 3. So,
I did.
I don't know why. There's four characters in New Super Mario Bros. 2. I don't know why, like there's two Toads. I don't know why the fourth one just isn't Peach, and then you have the,
Well, who would you save?
That's a good point.
You save Bowser from Wart? Is that what you want?
What was the plot of 2? What were you doing?
A string of unrelated events. Oh, no, you were in a dream.
Yeah, I know you were in a dream, but they had to have some sort of goal.
There were mice throwing bombs. You had to stop them.
Yeah.
I guess I had about as much plot as you needed.
Three-headed snakes. Yeah.
They were just kind of... They went for a stroll one day, and all this shit happened.
Yeah, you were fighting terrorists.
Exactly. All right, next. Okami. Joe, you just beat this, right?
I beat it this morning, yeah.
Oh, that's very timely.
Yeah, very fresh in your mind.
How long was it? What was your play style?
What do you call it? I didn't do, like, the enemy gauntlets, because I tried it once, and then I died. I was like, oh, no thank you. I beat it in 40 hours. It was a 40-hour game. It felt too long, because, I mentioned on this other message board I go to, that after the first three acts, like, that was when I really, really loved this game. Like, until then, I was, like, lucky, because that's when you finally beat Orochi. And, like, Susanoo becomes into his own as his own character, and it's, like, the later plot lines they went on, which is, like, it is, like, adapting, like, different other Japanese, like, folk tales and legends. They didn't feel as strong as the Orochi arc, you know?
So after the whole Orochi thing, it actually goes on to, like, something else entirely?
No, you don't, it's not, like, a giant, like 180. It is...
It's a bunch
still,
of...
It's, like, all... It's still, like, and part of the enveloping storyline, but it didn't feel as strong as the Orochi arc. Because there are, like, you know, one legend per each... act, because it's six acts divided up for the story. Mm-hmm.
Now, what act do you fight Orochi in?
Three. Well, spoilers, the first time you fight Orochi is in Act 3.
It wouldn't be a Capcom game if you didn't recycle bosses.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, got
it. Just pissed me off about Okami.
Okay, next. Pokemon Diamond and Pearl. So this is a Generation 4 Pokemon.
Still haven't played it. One day I'll get back into it.
I liked it a lot. I thought they were my favorites since the original, I think, actually.
Technically, I can't speak for it, because I didn't actually play this. My friends did, but I played Platinum. But, you know, it's the same generation.
Yeah,
so,
it's the same thing.
This is the one that reignited my love for Pokemon, yeah.
Yeah.
Because when I was, like, the first time you leave your hometown, you listen to the theme song for the first route, like, Route 201, I think, and, like, the music is, like, really, really reinviting me back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The very positive upbeat.
But then, like, Generation 4, it was like, dun 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 dun. Well, I'm not gonna go on, but.
Alright. Yeah, this is good radio, guys.
And
this
also,
is the acapella exploring barrel.
What star did you pick?
I picked Turtwig, because it was the marriage of Bulbasaur and Squirtle. I wasn't feeling the monkey with the flame on his ass.
Who does feel that monkey? That monkey just, I can't take him seriously.
Well, they don't take him seriously until he evolves, because then, you know, he's like the only fire type in the entire Sinnoh area. The only competent fire type.
I remember the third generation games were just like terrible if like there just weren't any fire type Pokemon in them. How can you resist
Prince Typhlosion?
How can you resist Prinplup, though? Come on.
Piplup,
whatever the hell his name is.
Is that the penguin?
Yeah, penguin.
Okay.
How can you resist
in the Japanese version.
How can you resist him?
Because I don't have a hard-on for penguins.
Well, there's nothing wrong with you. You also have no soul.
Oh, I have a soul. I beat Okami, hello.
No, that's
I think that is a definite sign of whacking one.
Yeah, I was about to say, that supports an argument to the contrary.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Persona 3.
Love it.
Yeah, I thought you would.
Oh.
Yeah.
I played through about half of it, and I really liked it, and it was just one of those things where I just stopped playing it. But, yeah, I kind of am in the same situation with 4 right now, but I still plan on going back to 4 soon. I'm going to beat it.
Sigh.
But I'm going to beat 4, I promise. Go talk about 3.
3 is the second best Shin Megami Tensei game ever made.
What's the first?
Nocturne.
Well, like, for American side, we never played 1 and 2.
Yeah, but I still like Nocturne better than those. I actually like Persona 3 better than those two, but they were good.
It seems like Persona 3 was the first one to kind of get a sort of broader notice in America.
Persona was always the more mainstream one, yeah.
Yeah, and also,
so people were feeding.
You know, the internet hadn't really become this huge video gaming place until the Persona 3 came out.
You say the internet didn't explode until Persona 3, like,
yeah,
for the masses?
Okay, yeah, yeah. they came to the internet because of Persona 3. No, it's the same reason that all these lists I've been sending you have been getting shorter, is because the internet's become more prevalent for video games. There's less obscure stuff now.
Yeah,
it's easier
true.
To find out about things. There's no such thing as an obscure... There's much fewer obscure games now.
Yeah, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Persona 3, it really kind of took off, as much so that they had to make a sequel ASAP, and
well,
it worked out well, too.
And that's also just the style that Atlus does, is they make a game, and then they try and take the complaints of that game, and then make a sequel to it, and then they let that series rest for a while.
So do you like Persona 3 more than 4?
Yes.
A lot more, or...?
Quite a bit more.
Oh, interesting. Okay,
in part just because of the structure.
Okay. Next is Virtual Fighter 5, which was touted by fighting fans as a, you know, very good game. It's almost a step too technical for me. I tried it for a while. I mean, it's some hardcore stuff there. Anyone here play it?
I play it kind of casually, which is...
I played it casually too, but it's a hard game to play casually.
Yeah, it's kind of a contradiction to say I play any fighting game casually now.
Right. Well, like, Soul Calibur can be played casually still.
Yeah. Well, Street Fighter can be played casually. It's still a fairly simple game. But
right.
The way that people treat them, you have to know every frame or whatever. But, yeah, I like Virtua Fighter just because I like the feel of it. And it's also one of the few games where I can beat all my friends.
Oh, nice. Who do you play as?
I usually play as... Oh, crap. What's the monk's name? Blanking out on his name.
Something with an F.
Yeah.
I take your word for it.
Monk.
Monk. Oh, you play you play as Adrian Monk.
Yeah.
Nice. You have OCD. Alright. Cool. Next. This is my final one I had was Wii Sports, which is kind of heralded the whole current casual gaming scene, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Still a popular game amongst everyone's mom.
The game with the Wii. It's free, yeah.
Yeah, it came with the Wii, you know, and it had bowling, which was kind of fun. I don't know if we need to say anything else about Wii Sports.
Everyone plays bowling.
It's a good distraction.
It is. It was a good game to launch with the Wii.
Yeah, it was
kind
good.
Kind of showed off everything. Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm sure you have some stuff you want to talk about, Sword Guy, so why don't you get to it?
Yeah, I think I actually did send you an email because I was stuck in Texas with nothing else to do.
Right, you want me to open up your email to me?
Sure. You can follow through, or you can follow along. I have a PSP game called Brave Story New Traveler, it wasn't the most, you know, creative game. It sucks that it came out the same year as Final Fantasy XII and Persona 3, which are much more creative. But it was just a really, really solid PSP game based on a manga that I've not actually read called Brave Story.
Actually, it's the actual source material is a novel, and then they adapted that to manga, and they had a theatrical anime adaptation, yeah.
Oh, really?
And it's like a spinoff, though. It's like you don't play as the protagonist in that, though.
Yeah, it's loosely based on that, from what I've read. Let's see. Next, I have Contact, which is the exact opposite of that game. It's made by Grasshopper, which is Suda51's company. Suda didn't exactly have his hands in it quite so much as something like No More Heroes or Killer 7. But it definitely has that kind of weird Grasshopper-y vibe to it. It's almost like Final Fantasy 12 and 2. 12 in that you know, go into attack mode and you just keep on attacking the nearest enemy. And it's kind of automated in that way, but it's also like Final Fantasy 2 in the leveling structure, in that as you keep on doing stuff, you just get better at it. But I thought it was really good, and it was also really funny. I don't know what the Japanese script was like, but the English translation had all sorts of references to video games and stuff.
Oh, yeah. And there's like one Gotaku article just because they had the line about attacking the weak point for massive damage.
Yeah, it was the very first attack is weak point for massive damage joke in a video game, to my knowledge.
That one never gets old to me.
Yeah, it was groundbreaking in that way too.
By virtue of it, it's being called Contact. The nature of the game, in terms of like the conceit of it, is breaking the fourth wall a lot, right?
Yeah, it is. I really like that too. Is that
because you don't play as a protagonist? You're playing as a person controlling the protagonist.
Yeah, you're playing as a person playing
interfacing with the professor, right?
Yeah, through your DS. And the game starts with you, like, you have, it stays still forever until you actually figure out, oh, I should tap this guy. And he's like, oh, do that again. Oh, hey, you're contacting me through this crazy machine you have. And it's all very funny. I think you can probably find it for, like, 10, 15 bucks now. And,
it's definitely in the bargain bin now, yeah.
Yeah, I recommend it very highly. Okay. Next one that I'll spend less time on is Izuna, Legend of the Unemployed Ninja, which is just, you know, it's a casual roguelike. It's much easier to play than...
That's an oxymoron there, casual roguelike.
Yeah, it's much less anal than NetHack.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's just good, solid, not much else to say about it. It's kind of embarrassing to play, so don't let anybody look over your shoulder while they're doing it.
Right. If there is a game that has embarrassing moments, it's like some rule that someone will walk in during those embarrassing moments.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a handheld, no excuses. And as a giant, big-breasted ninja.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next.
Scourge Hive. Anybody play Scourge Hive?
Why'd you skip Mother 3?
Oh, whoops. I did skip that. Mother 3. Mother 3 is amazing.
Hey, I don't like Earthbound.
Yeah, well, you know what? Shut your mouth.
Did she play Earthbound?
Suck it down, Daikatana.
I tried. Oh, good. My catchphrases are catching on.
I actually said that somewhere, and I realized with shame where I'd gotten it. But,
Wait. You just made me so happy.
Yeah.
That's. All right, go ahead.
Anyway.
Tell me why I should care.
Okay, because it's sort of like how... You know how any artist evolves as they go on? Like, if you listen to the Beatles' Please Please Me, and then listen to, I don't know, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, it sounds totally different because they evolved over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like that with this series, is that Mother started off as basically Dragon Quest. It was that with, you know, Shigesato Itoi's odd brand of humor applied to it. And as they went on, they became a bit more experimental and added their own elements to the point where now it really does seem like its own thing. It has, like, rhythm-action elements to it. You time your attacks to the music that's playing in the background.
Oh, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. It doesn't have any random battles. I like that a lot. It's kind of hard to describe, but... It's just...
Hard to describe without spoiling it?
Yeah. But it's...
You said it's sad?
Yeah. People die
isn't
in
the
this
slogan,
game.
Isn't the slogan, no crying until the end?
Yes.
Or was that Earthbound?
No, I think it was Mother 3.
I'm kind of intrigued now.
Yeah, but people die in this game.
Yeah, the commercials for this game in Japan were just people talking about how emotional the story is. Just the story alone, yeah.
Oh, man, a lot of people have said that it's the most emotionally involved they've ever been in a video game.
Jeez. And does Lucas, the main character, is he a silent protagonist like Ness, or does he talk?
He's silent. Okay. They do play... the other thing that I really like about it is that even though it is really sad, and like in the very beginning it basically is like all the characters are going to die and go to hell for their sins, it still has its weird sense of humor to it. So you'll open up like a treasure chest and they'll be filled with farts. Or,
So the fan translation, it's out, right?
Yes, and it's pretty good.
Hey, we have to get the squadron on that then. I'll give it a shot. Sounds really interesting. I still can't understand for the life of me why this did not come out in the U.S.
Because how
hard would that have been?
Nintendo of America hates the Game Boy Advance. They just want it to die.
I guess. I mean, God. We make a crappy DS port, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I wish they would have done that.
DSiWare.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of things that might happen. That is not one of them.
Yeah, I kind of doubt it. Also because it had, like, gay dudes hanging out in a pink hot tub. But, nice.
Well, they could just rate it T, then. That'd be fine.
Exactly.
Maybe. Anyway.
Final Fantasy VII.
I played it. I like it a lot. Anyway. Well, Scourge
Hive.
How'd
you play it, though?
How did I play
it? Did you play it off the ROM, or...?
I might have used illegal methods to play it.
I mean, did you play it inherent on GBA hardware, or...?
No, I had to use my computer. I don't have a cart to play it on my DS or anything.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Move on.
Scourge Hive. It's fun. It's isometric alien syndrome and kind of Metroidvania style exploration. It's good.
Cool.
Go for the DS version. It's cheap. Okay. Shin Megami Tensei, Devil Summoner, Raido Kuzunoha versus the Soul's
Army. There's no hurry nor anything.
Yeah.
I just call it Raido Kuzunoha. I mean, Devil Summoner, Raido Kuzunoha versus Soul's Army.
This is a great title.
Yeah. I like to say the whole thing just because, you know, I like to be an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Bugs, Papa, Pichu.
Yeah. Say the full thing. It's not quite as long as, what was that? Lord of the Rings expansion. Lord of the Rings, The Battle for Middle-earth 2, Rise of the Witch King.
Oh, yeah.
But basically, this was kind of like Yakuza. It was like a kind of Yakuza, but with more Megaten style to it. It was, how to explain it? You played this, didn't you, Joey?
I did. I beat it as well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only one I've beaten besides Nocturne. The only S&T title I've beaten besides Nocturne, yeah. I've never beaten P3 or P4.
What was this for, guys?
PS2.
Okay.
But,
oh, really?
And you can find it in stores now. It's like $10.
Oh, is the sequel that... Is the game that just came out the direct sequel to this?
Kinda. Yes. It's like a sequel in the sense that Sherlock Holmes books are connected. They might, reference it, but it's like a bunch of serial stories.
Okay, but it's like the same character, same...
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So, it was... Like I said, it's kind of like Yakuza. You get into random battles and it's a brawler. You're beating up people with a sword and a gun in the 1920s. I like it. Yeah. I like the setting and all that. But the game itself had a lot of problems. Like, Atlas apparently doesn't know how to program hit detection, so your sword would whiff right through enemies occasionally.
How nice.
The encounter rate was really high, so whenever you're just, like, trying to get from point A to point B so you can talk to one dude, you're going through, like, 23 random battles. And all this time, you're starting to realize, oh, wait, there are some flaws to this battle system. Thanks for that. It's very flawed. The sequel, however, is much better. They learned how to program hit detection.
Did they get rid of the fixed camera for each battle, or...?
They did. It's not a pre-rendered environment anymore. It's still kind of a fixed camera, but it's not nearly as much of a problem. And it doesn't look anywhere near as chunky.
And this was the last game that had Kazuma Kaneko as, with that style that he had done from when he remade SMT 1 and 2? Because he had a certain modern style, and then for Raido 2, the art style, like, changed, didn't you notice, like, significantly, you know?
I don't know about significantly, but it did change.
It was like it's trying to force a sort of retro feel to his art, style that didn't feel like, didn't look right to me.
Yeah, you know, it was definitely trying to be, the second one was definitely trying to be very old school Shin Megami Tensei, like down to alignments and whatever else, but I've been playing that recently, so I'll talk more about it later. But yeah, so it's a shame that it didn't turn out quite so well, because like you said, the art is amazing, the setting is really original, it's, you know, you're a supernatural detective in the 1920s, and it just has all these things going for it, but they kind of stumbled on the whole gameplay thing, so.
But it's fine, because we got a sequel.
Yeah, and the sequel is much, much better, so I recommend picking that up. Persona 3, we already talked about. Rhythm Tengoku came out.
Do we have to talk about that? I mean, what we got was the DS one.
Yeah.
It wasn't the DS one that came out this year, right?
Yeah, it wasn't the DS one. It was the
What the hell is this Final Fantasy V video in Rhythm Heaven? I did not know about this.
It's not Final Fantasy V in Rhythm Heaven.
No, it's a fan-made thing.
Yeah, you know, Japan has the rampant fan community. Like, suddenly you would see, like, Persona 3 doing that weird dance, you know?
Yeah.
Right, because it...
Or, like, the Asamanga Daio theme song.
Because this looks perfect. I was like, what? Was this actually in the game?
No, somebody traced over the graphics, and it looks really good. But, yeah, I like that fan video a lot. But, yeah, it's
just... For Rhythm Tengoku, GBA, it was button interaction, right? Just, like, press a button.
It was much more precise than the, DS one, which is kind of why I like it a bit more. Just because
bit more ad hoc,
Having only played the DS one, though, I still really like that game.
Yeah, it's still good. It just, I like the DS one just because it's a bit more precise.
You mean
the GBA one?
Whatever.
Right.
I've gotten almost all the medals on that, but yeah, the GBA one. I mean the DS one, but
see?
Never mind.
Can't be done. Okay, Suikoden 5. Anybody play Suikoden 5?
I have not played any Suikoden.
Yeah, you need to do that.
I played up to the first tournament. The first tournament with the quick time event, rock, paper, scissors, fusion, interaction.
Yeah, I'm about
that was as far as I got. And that's like 1/50th of the game.
Yeah, I haven't gotten very far in it, but I mostly included it for a friend of mine who's a really big Suikoden fan who says that it's one of those... like, games that you can talk about the plot and not be embarrassed by whenever you're talking about it with friends.
And it was, like, the last really good Suikoden, right?
Yeah, it's much more of a return to form than Suikoden 4 was.
Yeah, Suikoden 4 was the one that everyone hated, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And 5 is like, essentially a predecessor. I mean, a prologue. Bleh, what am I saying? It takes place before 1 and 2, right?
Something like that.
Prequel.
Like a couple of hundred years before.
Yeah.
Maybe not that far back.
Well, it was a few years before. Suikoden 4 was set, like, several hundred years before, so it didn't have any connections to the main story.
There you go.
But, yeah. And if you really... like, people complain about Persona 3 having, like, a 45-minute opening sequence. This has... like, I played for 3 hours, and I got into, like, one random battle.
Yeah. I can corroborate this, yes.
See, I'm okay with those kind of things sometimes. I know AJ just hates any game where that sort of traditional slow RPG thing, even Kingdom Hearts 2, he can't stand that whole opening sequence of Roxas.
Yeah, but it doesn't normally bug me, but there's just so little to do. Nothing happens.
It's a lot of text.
They're slowly, slowly setting everything up. Very, very slowly.
Right.
Oh, Japan, they're used to that, I guess.
Yeah. But, what I've played so far, it's pretty good. It's a little bit slower than some of the older games, but it's fun.
Alright, what else you got? What's your final rundown?
Okay, Bully.
Oh, I forgot Bully. Bully was a well-liked game, but I couldn't get into it.
It's the only Rockstar game I've ever beaten.
Huh.
I enjoyed it. Daxter. Dead Rising DEF CON. Earth Defense Force 2017. one of the few very good simple 2000 games. Final Fantasy III for DS, which was the first time I had actually played it outside of that ROM hack. Final Fantasy XII, Gears of War, God Hand, which I only recently played, but I enjoyed it quite a bit.
God Hand was a weird... It's one of those weird games where it seems like critical reaction to it is negative, but, like, everyone I talk
the
to...
The infamous IGN review, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, even, I think, 1UP wasn't all that into it, were they? I can't remember.
Yeah, they gave it,
now.
Like, a 7-ish.
Okay.
It got, like, middling to good.
Okay.
But,
why is the IGN review so famous?
It got
It was, like, it was almost, like, it was, like, one of those reviews where people think, look at it, and they're like, okay, it's obvious this guy didn't finish the game.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And infamous for being Clover's last game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that too. With kind of weird cutscenes that I still don't understand.
And weird commercials, like in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Where you see this dude with the fist for a head.
Yeah.
And you see the part where he's... yeah, okay, let's move on.
Yeah. The guy with the fist going through his mouth. Half-Life 2, Episode 1.
Not as good as Episode 2, but it was still nice.
Well, yeah, but even so, it was good.
I mean, it's more Half-Life 2, but
yeah,
it's good.
Let's see. Twilight Princess, MGS Portable Ops.
Surprisingly good.
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed with it, but I mostly included it on the list so I could just link that comic, which is amazing.
Oh, yes, read that comic.
Yes.
By Peachy Fruit, whatever her name is?
Yeah, Peachy.
Wait, which, is this the one, I read his...
Her.
Oh, okay. Is this different than the, I read the Metal Gear Solid 2 and Metal Gear Solid 3.
It's the same
ones.
Artist.
Oh, yeah.
But they did a Portable Ops one also?
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
nice.
Who cares about spoilers? Just read the whole damn thing, because...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All of those comics are great.
I go so far as to say, read that instead of actually playing Portable Ops.
Yeah, it's pretty genius. But, and I only just now figured out the name of her site is Hi, I'm Daisy. For the longest time, I was calling it
Hi, yeah.
Daisy.
Oh, man.
But, yeah. Okay, Okami, Resistance, Fall of Man, which was okay.
I did not like Resistance.
It was the best thing they...
Well, you beat Half-Life, too, so there you go.
Yeah, it was the closest thing they had to a good PS3 launch title.
Right.
So, I thought it was okay. Titan Quest, which is like Egyptian Diablo, and I liked it. Tomb Raider Legend, which was kind of uninspired, but good return to form for the series. Valkyrie Profile 2 and Yakuza 2.
In Japan?
Yes.
Hmm.
And then just random other shout-outs I wanted to give was Genesis Game of the Year was Beggar Prince, because there's this weird company that I can't remember the name of that localizes Taiwanese games for America. And they recently produced this in 2006 and started producing Genesis cartridges for it in America.
What?
Yeah.
What a great idea.
Yeah, I know, and they sell them over the internet. You can buy them.
I wonder how lucrative a business that is.
I know, they're probably rolling in the dollars. Those
yeah, probably not too much.
American dollars.
I have not too bad, yeah.
Yeah. And then my favorite localization of the year was Chaos Wars.
God.
Where the guy got his... he got his kids to do the voice acting for some of the characters in that game. And I linked a video to you. I'm going to put that on Twitter right now because it is amazing.
Now that I'm watching the video, I know exactly what it is. Yeah.
And has the most amazing voice acting. I'm just going to say, watch that video. I just put it up.
I've seen it, so I don't have to.
Yeah. Everybody should watch that. So, yeah.
All right.
Joe,
is there
Viva
anything
Pinata.
You want? Oh, Viva Pinata. Okay. Anything else you want to bring up, Joe?
We brought up everything. You know, you guys, Sorka, and you already mentioned the five games on my list. New SMB... Okami, Portable Ops, which I will at least elaborate on. For one thing, it's I already said my blog. It's the first game Oh, it was a game that they that you played to understand MGS4, but for the wrong reasons. Raido, Kuzunoha 1, and Resistance, which was the first FPS I actually beat and, you know, finally understood how FPSs work. So,
okay, now
give Insomniac credit for that.
Why do you like Resistance? Because I just don't get it.
Well, it's not so much I like Resistance, but I respect it because, well, it's like, you know, a console FPS that made me understand how FPSs work, you know? Because, I'll probably get some flack for this, but Insomniac games, I try the Ratchet games, and they aren't really great platformers, but they're great, like, you know, my first platformer games, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
But then, you know, that doesn't really need to exist because Super Mario Brothers is out. And but Resistance is a good FPS to start with, you know, because I never played FPS, and I tried Half-Life on console for, like, half an hour, and, you know, that's not the best way to start, you know, to learn how to play FPS, but...
Probably not, considering that game's really, really hard.
Resistance. I played the demo. I was like, "Hey, I understand how FPSs work now." You know, because I didn't mean to say I felt Half-Life. I meant to say Killzone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's also not a good way to start.
Yeah.
There you go.
And since then I've been playing FPSs a little bit more and I understand them now. Yay.
Okay. All right, we gotta pick something here.
Persona 3.
Oh, great.
I'm kind of leaning towards Final Fantasy 12 over Persona 3. Why do you say Persona 3 over Final Fantasy 12?
Because I like it more and beat it.
Okay.
I like traditional mythology and weird stuff like that.
Joe, what are you thinking?
Having beaten Okami, I want to say Okami, but no one's voted. But
I'm not gonna go along with that.
I thought it was alright, but it
I mean,
was
wait
a
for
a time
the sixth game of the year. I wouldn't say it's game of the year, but I will give it kudos. 2006 game of the year.
I know Ajga would be saying Oblivion if he was here. Good thing he isn't.
I never beat Persona 3, and, I don't have anything really negative to say about
it.
But I'll just, I'd still respect it, yeah. I'll give it to P3.
I'll go along with that, then. We can say Persona 3.
Yeah, and we won't get any flack for it, because we're the X-Men Battle podcast.
Oh,
yeah.
Exactly. I mean, the squadron will be happy, at least.
Everybody loves our opinions and respects us.
Right, exactly.
Can I make a couple of notes about this year?
Yeah, sure.
Just two notes about this year. Because this year is kind of funny because January 26th happens to be my birthday, and two things happened this year that on that day that I still remember. Nintendo announced the DS Lite on my birthday, which is kind of funny.
Oh, yeah.
They announced the DS Lite, which everyone, you know, immediately got, you know, it was also, I think it was also part of why, you know, the DS, did have that resurgence, because it was much more attractive hardware than even the PSP ultimately became, until, you know, actually even the PSP redesigns, you know, didn't really garner more sales for that.
Yeah. But they also, PSP kind of forgot certain fundamental ideas behind portable gaming.
Hmm. Yeah. And on that same day, also, it was Konami's press day, where they announced Metal Gear Solid 2 Subsistence, and I think they announced it that day, but that was also when they announced the Metal Gear Saga, and that was when Ryan Payton got his big nod after that 2005 interview with Kojima during E3.
Mm-hmm.
And for E3 this year, we did get the MGS4 trailer, which was 15 minutes long.
Oh.
And had the cutscene that allegedly made everyone love Raiden.
Right.
Kind of.
Which, unfortunately, my problem with that cutscene was when you got to it in the game, I mean, it was the exact same thing. Yeah, and I was like, well, I've seen this like 5 times.
Because I've been watching it on repeat over and over up until the release of the game.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Alright, man, I wish I had any idea where AJ kept the, list of past game of the year, so I could go through the whole list, but I don't know where that is. So
last year was Shadow of the Colossus.
Last year was Shadow of the Colossus, right?
Yeah, should
before
have been
was
there,
like
Resident Evil 4.
What?
No, okay. Anyway,
if you were there, if you were there to argue with me, maybe.
Yeah.
I would have gone Resident Evil 4.
I love Resident Evil 4. It's my favorite game of the last generation that didn't have the word Shin Megami Tensei in the title.
I still find it bizarre how much better Resident Evil 4 is than 5.
Yeah, I think it was just... It felt like they were going more through the motions whenever they did Resident Evil 5.
exactly.
Having that played.
Yeah, that plot to have to resolve, yeah.
All right, let's get to the quiz then. Yeah, my God, we're already an hour into this. Let's get going.
Let's do the quiz.
Okay, guys. It's a Great American Ash Guy Gaming Quiz.
How's it going to work out this time? Because last week was just me.
Yeah, you did surprisingly well. You got like 3 points. I was surprised. It's points. It's a point-based system. Okay. Question number one. Name Oblivion's two expansions.
Knights of the Nine.
Yep.
And... Crap. Shivering Isles.
Yep, got it. Point one. All right, question two. What's the name of the main character in Dead Rising? I only need his first name.
Frank.
Got it. All right, cool. Question three. What is the name of the commander of the Elite Beat Agents?
You know this one off the top of your head?
No.
I think it's Khan?
Yep, Commander Khan. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, you're going good here.
Well, he's going good.
I do know everything about video games.
Jeez, this might be the first ever 6-pointer.
Don't jinx it. Oh, there you go.
All right. Number four. Final Fantasy XII is set in what fictional world?
Ivelisse.
All right, that was an easy one. That was a givey. Okay, question five. The Wii version of Okami is infamous for having what gaming site's watermark on the front cover?
IGN, yeah.
Okay, well, you already won. This is incredible. Now there's a bonus question. You can get a record-breaking 6 points. Bonus question. Name the main character of Persona 3's Persona.
Oh, Orpheus.
Orpheus.
Well done.
Yay!
Well done.
Woo! Okay.
Perfect 6 points. Incredible. Edge guy should be ashamed.
If you do a fist pump right now, you'll be doing it.
Yeah.
It's because Asgard can never get all of these JRPG questions.
If we were all together right now, we would be high-fiving so hard.
Yeah, exactly. But we did it, guys. We did it.
Oh, man, I just dislocated both of my wrists.
We're the champions. Anyway, oh, God.
It's funny.
That's going to be the show.
Whenever Asgard's doing the quiz, I'm always just kind of rooting against him. But when it's anybody else, I'm like, please, come on, you can do it. All right. Okay, let's talk about our week in gaming. I'm going to go first. It's my show, and I can do that.
It's
a
damn show.
Yeah. I got Blaze Blue, which is... I've been enjoying it immensely. If anyone's played Guilty Gear, it's similar in style in that it's kind of got this sort of rock and roll theme, and the characters are kind of quirky and stuff, and everything's 2D.
It's very over the top.
Yeah, exactly. It's over the top. Especially some of the characters. It's one of those games where they go for a smaller roster. I think that there's only really 12 characters, and two of those are the boss characters. But each character is a bit more unique. Like, the way it works is, like, there's three attack buttons, and then there's another button, like, another face button that's, like, called, like, the drive button. And for everyone else, it kind of does something a little different. Like, it's usually an attack button. But, like, the one character, always has another character kind of behind him. And, like, this button is used to kind of control that character or someone else to, like, teleport with this button.
So it's almost like a tag team thing?
The one character is weird. It's, like, he has, like, his sister, he calls him, follow him. And, like, you have to kind of direct her movements while you play as the main character and tell her what to do and stuff. It's not like Marvel versus Capcom or anything, tag team-y.
Oh, okay.
No, it's traditionally one versus one.
I think I need to just go watch videos for this because I haven't been paying attention to it other than, like, a couple screenshots.
Right. Oh, you definitely should because it's a very solid, fun game. It has a story mode along with the arcade mode, and the story mode's a bit more drawn out. There's these hilarious kind of sketches called... It's like things where they just kind of explain... like, the world of the game, and it's like, these are not canon. It's like the characters in chibi form just kind of talking about things, doing sketches. Those are always hilarious. The netcode is fantastic. I've experienced very few lag issues. The matchmaking system is so much better than Street Fighter 4. Street Fighter 4 does this really annoying thing where, like, you do quick match, and it'll be like, searching, oh, we can't find a match. So you have to go to quick match again. You have to, like, do this 10 times before you find a match. Blaze Blue is just, when you click find a match, it'll just keep searching until it finds a match. Which I don't understand why any other fighting game wouldn't just do that.
Seems pretty basic, yeah.
Yeah, but it's got a lot of personality. It seems very solid. It seems pretty balanced so far. I've been enjoying it immensely, and I hope some other squad people get so I can play them. Besides that, I finally tried playing some of the Fallout 3 DLC. I just, all I really did, I'm halfway through, like, Operation Anchorage. I can kind of understand a lot of the complaints leveled at it, because it is a pretty basic, like, you're just kind of walking around shooting things, and there's, like, health packs and ammo stations everywhere, so more than anything, it's just kind of easy, but it seems interesting, at least. I just like that the level cap was raised, at least. Mm-hmm. Let's see, I think that's pretty much it for me. Who wants to go next?
Joey.
Yeah, go Joe.
Me? Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I already said I beat Okami. Mm-hmm. I do have one thing to say. Well, you know, I already mentioned, at the end of Act 3 was when you beat Orochi, and I would say that's the high point of the game. And, you know, next, I would have said that would be the high point of the game next to the ending if I wasn't interrupted last night playing the game, because, like, when my dad gets home, he, like, just flips to his, like, Chinese historical dramas. And this is do you guys care about spoilers?
No. I've already played through it.
And this is the... Oh, yeah. And this is the scene, you know, after you beat Yami, and, you know, Armatross is about to do his, like, customary, like, I beat the boss, you know, hell yeah, like, howl to this guy, but then he forgets that, like, he starts to realize that he misses Isun, and he does his, like, lonely howl, and then it's out of nowhere, you get ambushed by Yami, who turns out he wasn't beaten. And then he absorbs all your powers again after you've just gotten him back from him, and then he turns into his true form, which is like this giant hand coming out of this Kagutsuchi technosphere.
It's like the disco ball Kagutsuchi.
Yeah. And then what you call it? Then you know you see a dialogue box of Isun saying that you know Amaterasu is always such an airhead. He always needs my help, and then you realize that it's actually him talking. And then, it's that scene, like they mentioned in the Squadcast, where everyone comes to your aid and sends you their prayers, and then you ascend back to your full power. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was starting to really feel that scene, you know, in terms of, like, you know, starting to tear up, and then my dad flipped the input for the TV, and suddenly they were watching this Chinese drama again. I was like, oh, great. And then I was playing it this morning, and I beat it, and it definitely didn't feel I didn't feel that gravitas. Mm-hmm. So that's a shame. And also this morning, I was... stuck on that GameCube player, Game Boy player to the GameCube, and I was playing a bit of Mario 2 for this thing I'm trying to do. I'll elaborate in the future, I guess. Mario 2, as in the Japanese Mario 2.
Okay.
Lost Levels?
Yes.
I hate that game, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I just despise it. It's like Mario 2 if Mario 2 really, really hated you. If Mario 1 really, really hated you. unfair, arbitrary way.
It's the point where, you know, the first demo. I mean, the player demo, which is like, yeah, just the when you leave the start screen on for a while, it just shows the guy. It's like just shows the Mario character just going across, hitting the box for the poison mushroom and eating it voluntarily and dying.
Yeah, and actually, have you seen the Japanese commercials for it?
No.
The old Japanese commercials were a bunch of Japanese dudes just like getting really angry and tearing out their hair at the game.
I thought you were going to say it was going to be just a bunch of 10-year-old kids crying.
I think there was also that in there, too.
That would have been Takeshi's Challenge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, nothing's as bad as Takeshi's Challenge, but Mario 2 tried its damnedest to come close.
Okay. Well, that's it for me. Let's hear it for you, Sorgai.
Okay. I beat Henry Hatsworth.
Oh, good job.
I'm very proud of myself.
Do you think that... I mean, the game's hard. But some people want to put it on, like, the upper echelon of all-time hard games, which I think is a little much.
Don't know if I'd say that. I'd say it's, in some cases, annoying. It's mostly because every goddamn enemy is a damage sponge.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's like, if Mega Man Zero were a lot slower, that's what it would be like.
It is very much like a Mega Man X, Mega Man Zero kind of game, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got a sword, you're sliding on walls, you're doing all that stuff.
Got the gun. Dash. Yeah, and I wasn't expecting that when I first started playing it, but it was welcomed.
Yeah, but it also has, like, elements of Beautiful Joe and that you transform into the dude. It has, like, the Castlevania weapon management system. Mm-hmm. It's got a bunch of other stuff mashed together.
And the whole puzzle thing.
And then a puzzle game.
Yeah. It's ingenious, really.
So, I thought it was good. I thought it had some problems. I don't know if I like it quite as much as you, but I thought it was definitely worth picking up.
Okay, cool.
Let's see. I bought Devil Survivor. and I'm actually surprised at just how much I like it. You know, strategy RPGs I enjoy, but I don't play them that often. And this one is just really, really good. It feels much more like a Shin Megami Tensei game than I thought it would. I thought it was just going to be like Fire Emblem with mythology attached to it. But it's kind of like Final Fantasy Tactics in that you're moving your characters around and all that stuff. But once you actually get into battles, it plays like an RPG. Like, you're selecting which enemy to attack, and it plays out just like a good Shin Megami Tensei game. And it has the extra
Wait
turn system.
So it has the press turn system?
Yeah, it has slightly modified, but yeah, it has press turn.
So you're confusing me here. Traversal of the environment is like Final Fantasy Tactics, but the actual battles themselves are traditional press turn RPG?
Yeah. And it also has all the demon fusion stuff. You know, there are a couple elements I don't like. Like, the way you get demons now is called the demon auction, which is like in-game eBay where you bid on devils.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
And you do have the buy it now option, but you'd have to be an idiot to use that because it's really expensive. So unless you really desperately want that demon, you don't do that. But beyond that, it's really, really good, and I highly recommend it.
Cool. Where would this go in the Mega 10 Megaverse? Is it like
Megaverse?
Like in the midst of in the grand scheme of, in terms of the plot, like is it in the midst of the nuclear attack from SMT-1 or something like that?
It's
that's
hard.
That's the impression I got.
Right now, I can't find any real canon connections to the main series. I'm only on the third day, so. It's
And the conceit is like 7 days, and then everyone's gonna die or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much. Which is odd because at the beginning it was really giving me a lot of The World Ends With You flashbacks, but it starts to differentiate around the second day.
Oh, great. I guess I'll pick it up then.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's balls hard though, so as is.
High praise from the Hallmark SMT fan of the Scholars Under Shame.
Yeah. But. So, I think it is a worthy addition to the Mega 10 universe outside of the character designs, which are awful.
It's not Cosmo Conoco, yeah.
It's not even Sojima, it's just poo. It's...
That's his name, poo?
No, it's just crap.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's yeah, I've seen the guy's work before. He does, Vocaloid Hatsune Miku stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, a chick who's... shirt is always falling down, but she apparently has no nipple. She must be a burn victim or something. But it's pretty terrible. Anyway.
It's very much like the standard anime.
Yeah. So, not to dwell on that too much.
Okay.
Raido Kuzunoha versus King of Baden, which I'm pretty nearly done with. I took a break for a bit because I'm more of a portable gamer these days. But that's also very good. It basically just takes everything that Raido Kuzunoha 1 did wrong and redoes it very, very well. And it feels very old school in that you have the moral choices and the branching paths and all that. But that's very good. I think there was one other game I played. Oh, I went to a local retro game shop and found an NES game called Little Samson, which had been recommended to me by a couple people.
Sounds familiar.
It's an NES game. It's really well animated. Can't remember who made it. But it's almost like Mega Man, except you have four different characters that you constantly switch between. And one of them's a dragon, one of them's a mouse. And they each have their own unique abilities, and then you can switch between them at any point you want to. So each one can tackle different obstacles, and you're going through these levels that are designed around that. It's really good, but outside of that, there's not a whole lot to say about it. Oh, and the Japanese version was Lickle, which is kind of funny. Anyway.
Anything else?
I'm done.
Alright, let's get to the releases, and we're going to wrap this up. Alright, so this is everything that came out last week. First, we have Call of War... What, Juarez? Yeah, Call of Juarez, Bound in Blood.
Call of Wares.
Call of Juarez. Alright, Xbox 360, PC, and PS3. Looks kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, Street Fighter 4 finally came out on the PC. Got Harry Potter and Half-Blood Prince video game coming out for just about everything, I imagine. Blaze Blue, PS3 and 360. I recommend that one heartedly. Mega Man Star Force 3, Black Ace.
Man, I've not
make
played
more
a Battle
of these.
Network game in since 3, I think.
I played 2, yeah. I liked them at that point, but, like, I had enough at that point.
I think maybe if I came back now, I'd be able to say, oh, look at all these improvements.
Maybe.
But whenever I played, like, 2, then 3 in quick succession, I was like, these are the exact same game.
Right. I don't know. They don't seem to get that much attention within, like, sort of traditional gaming community, but I guess they're popular. They keep making them.
The only reason they're kind of popular is because they have their own anime in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
Is that still going on?
I think so. It launched. They had a separate Star Force anime, I think. I've never actually watched any of it, but I'm pretty sure it exists.
Is Star Force in the same universe as the Battle Network stuff, or is it, like, different?
Not to my knowledge. I think it's a completely different thing. Because I know at the end of Battle Network 5, you saw all the characters, like, grown up and living out their adult lives and whatever else.
Oh, nice. How
so,
emotional.
Yeah, it's like the end of Mega Man 04, where they say, no, everybody's dead. We're not continuing this. And then they just did ZX and found a contrived new story.
Right, yeah. I never got to see it. Like, these series, they just go on too long. Like, I played 0, 1, and 2, and I tried 3, and I didn't like it. Is that really how it ends? Just everyone dies?
Yeah. 0 dies, Mega Man X dies, and that's it.
Oh, that's good. But they come back anyways as spirits or whatever.
Kinda.
They always just, like, always
robot
like, we're just gonna
souls.
Skip. It's like, we're gonna go ahead another 100 years and drag this on as long as we can.
Yeah.
All right. Infernal Hell's Revenge 360. What the hell? Hell's Revenge.
Oh, I remember that. That was that third-person shooter.
That's a great name. Yeah. Rise of Flight, the first great air war for the PC. The Punisher No Mercy came out for the PS3. Steamboat Chronicles Battle Tournament for the PSP. Steambots, not Steamboat.
Yeah, you made the same mistake you did last week.
Steambot, sorry.
Yeah.
I always think of Mickey Mouse.
It's still odd that they call that Steambot, since it runs on gasoline.
Yeah, it's strange. And Worms 2 Armageddon for the Xbox 360. I have no idea what the WiiWare games were, or what the Virtual Console game was.
I remember it being pretty unremarkable.
Yeah, I remember not caring, so let's just leave it at that. All right, thanks for listening to our show, everybody. You can find more about us at exploringbarrel.wordpress.com. You can see all of our episodes there. And also go to squadronofshame.com to see a little bit more about us, the squadron, what we do, and all the squadcasts on there. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. You can contact me at tolkoto@gmail.com. Guys, anything you want to get out there?
I'm on Twitter as David D. Wynn.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter as Shinogre, that's about it.
Alright then, thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you have a good week. Adguy will be back next time, so we'll be sure to welcome him with arms wide open. I want to thank you guys for helping out, especially you, Joe, who stepped in to do the news for 2 weeks. Very kind of you.
This is me, and Adguy's going to be doing the news from now on.
Yeah, Adguy's going to be doing the news again. That's his thing, yep. Alright, guys. Thanks again, and see you next time. Have a good evening. Bye.